good to see everyone here. It's good to be here with me and my mom. Dad was preaching today, so that's why he couldn't make it today. I'm sure that Mr. Goforth would have loved that so that he could lead singing. But it's good to be here. It's good to see Dory. We missed her this morning, but it's good to see her here. And what we're going to be talking about, I'm first going to ask us a few questions. What would you do if you knew that this was your last year? If you knew that in a year, depending on what you do, you're going to be gone. 1 year. How would you react if you knew that in just a short period of time, your life would be through? What would you do? How would you react? Jesus tells a parable kind of relating to these questions that we're going to be looking at in Luke 13. Luke 13. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. Luke 13, 1 through 9. If you'd like to put a ribbon marker here, we'll be returning to this after every point. Luke 13, 1 through 9. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Verse 6 is where our parable begins. And he began telling them this parable. A man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it. And he did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." Jesus said that all these things that they had been speaking about, these Galileans and the 18, those events didn't matter. But their repentance mattered. Their repentance is what God longs for them to follow in. Longs for us to follow in. He tells us parables so that we can know God and His work and others' work that they take for our sakes. This fig tree was in this man's vineyard. And when he came looking for fruit on it, he couldn't find any. So he was ready to take action then. He said, "Why does it even use up the ground?" But the vineyard keeper asked for one more year. One more year. And if it still doesn't bear fruit by then go ahead and cut it down. So that's the topic that we're going to be looking at, to show that God loves us and is waiting for us to do what is right. However, will we change, having knowledge that this is the only chance we get? It's our last year. How are we going to use it? So that's the title of our lesson, Your Last Year. So the first point that we see is in verse 6. And he began telling them this parable. A man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he did not find any. The owner was watching for and searching out for fruit that he had planted in the ground and was hoping to gain some fruit for his own use and for gaining some more money as well. And so he had been looking for this fruit, but found nothing. The plant had none to offer whatsoever. I first like to make the point that God also watches over us. God watches every action that we do. For this first point, most of our time is going to be spent around the Psalms and Job and Proverbs. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. I'm sorry. Let's turn over to Job 34. I'm sorry. Job 34. That's where our first point is going to be. Job 34, and we'll be looking at verses 21 and 22. For his eyes are upon the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness no darkness or deep shadow where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, God is watching us. There's nowhere that we can hide. No matter if we're in the farthest back corner with the lights turned off, we can't hide. And no matter what we're doing, God is always watching us. Over in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, and we'll be looking at verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. So no matter if we're doing something that's evil or if we're doing something that's good, God is watching us. We can't do something that is evil enough that his eyes will be turned away from it, or that something good enough that his eyes are looking away from it then either. He's always watching, no matter what it is that we're doing. And God is looking and searching for people who will listen to him. Now in Psalm 53, if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 53. Psalm 53, and we'll be looking at verse 2. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Just like the parable, God is searching for people to have good hearts. He's searching for people that are bearing fruit, searching for people to understand him, and searching for people that seek after him. And there's two different types of people. We all know that, the wicked and the righteous. And there's two different reactions that people have for God watching them. First, we'll look at the wicked. In Psalm 94. Psalm 94. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 7. Psalm 94, 3 through 7. How long shall the wicked, O Lord? How long shall the wicked exult? They pour forth words. They speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the orphans. They have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. The wicked don't believe that God's watching. They think in their foolishness, as the next verse says, pay heed, you senseless among the people. Because of their foolishness, they believe, well, God isn't really there. He's not really watching what I'm doing. So I'm fine. I'm murdering people and I'm committing all this wickedness and speaking vain language toward God. But he's not really watching. How does God feel about these wicked people and how they feel about his oversight of them? In Jeremiah 16. In Jeremiah 16. In verse 17. Jeremiah 16 and verse 17. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. God saw and this context as well as in all context of iniquity. He saw all. He sees every iniquity that is committed, every sin that is committed. But the fool and the wicked one says he's not watching. But on the righteous, he'll look favorably. In Psalm 34, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 15. Psalm 34, 13 through 15. Keep your tongue from evil, and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and their ears are and his ears are open to their cry. If we keep our tongue from evil, if we pursue righteousness, if we try to do what is good, then God's going to watch over us favorably. He's going to bless us. He's going to have his ears open to our cry. Whenever we have troubles, whenever we have problems, if we're righteous, when God watches over us, he's going to look favorably. He's going to bless us. So that's the first point we see. God is watching for fruit. But the second point we see is God is waiting for fruit. Back in our text, in Luke 13, if you put your ribbon marker there. Luke 13, we'll be looking at verses 7 and 8. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too." The owner's patience had already been used up for the last 3 years. I don't know about you, but my dad, he plants tomatoes all the time. And it's all over the porch and sometimes hanging up on the posts in the middle of the yard. And he gets frustrated whenever we don't get it for 1 year. Much less 3 years waiting for some tomato to grow on there. This owner had waited 3 years for some figs to grow on this fig tree, but didn't find anything. However, now he's going to give the plant one more year. One more year to let it bear fruit. The plant had been abusing the owner's grace. He had been abusing what he'd been given of 3 years and didn't bear any fruit. But the owner had mercy for one more year. In Psalm 86, this will be our last passage in the Old Testament. Psalm 86, we'll be looking at verse 15. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Because God is compassionate, because God is merciful, because God is gracious, if you add those two things of compassionate and gracious, he's therefore long-suffering. He is long-suffering toward us, waiting for us to come to repentance, waiting for us to bear fruit and work for him in his vineyard, to bear fruits of righteousness. Now in the New Testament, we'll be spending the rest of our time there. In Romans 2, and we'll be starting in verse 4. Romans 2 and verse 4. do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness or love or long-suffering as or I'm sorry or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience or long-suffering in the New King James Version, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. As well as all these other things, his kindness, his tolerance, his patience leads us to repentance. If we didn't have God's patience, then what would we do? If there were no patience, we'd already be gone. If there were no patience, then all those people in the first century would have little hope as to God saving them. Because his patience waits for us. In Romans 5, it says, while we were yet sinners, while we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, if God didn't have any patience with us, he wouldn't even send his son to die for us. But we have hope because he does wait for us. He waits for us no matter what it is that you're struggling with. My dad asked me the other day as we were talking about something. We were discussing about how soon you deal with sin. How long do you wait? And he asked me, how long do you need? How long do you need to fix your sins? And brethren, I'll confess, I got problems in my life. You guys got problems in your lives. Everyone's got problems in their lives. How long do you need? But God's patience. Like we should have patience, God's patience waits for us to repent. He waits for us to bear fruit. And finally, in 2 Peter 3, in verse 9, we see that he doesn't really do that. God doesn't have patience for his own benefit. How does it help him whenever he's waiting for us to repent? In 2 Peter 3, in verse 9, it reads, we'll start in verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Not only those who had already been baptized in the Roman letter that we read, but also everyone he wants to come to repentance. That person that you know at the gas station or at McDonald's or Walmart or anywhere at your work, that person that's not even a Christian, God wants them to repent as well. And God's waiting for them. God wishes for all to come to repentance, because he loves us all. That's why he's patient, because of his love. His long-suffering wants us, all of us, to come to repentance. Let's not abuse that. Let's not wait another 3 years to get our life fixed. Let's not wait for so long to go out there and do what we need to do. Let's not wait for a warning of one more year. Let's go. And that's the next point that we're going to be looking at. These last two points we've looked at were watching for fruit and God waiting for fruit. But now, it's up to us here of working for fruit. That's what we're going to be looking at for the last point. Working for fruit. Let's go back to our text. Luke 13. Luke 13, and we'll be reading 8 and 9. And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. The owner knows that the plant needs some labor put into it. He knows that the plant is weak right now and it needs a little bit of help, and that's why he grants this request to the keeper of the vineyard. And the owner knows that with all this work that needs to be done, he allows the gatekeeper's request, or the vineyard keeper's request, the gatekeeper, the vineyard keeper's request. So the keeper of the vineyard asks if he can try and help it to bear fruit. But this may sound weird, but the plant had to understand its duty too. It had to understand that if it was going to last another year, it had to take in that fertilizer. It had to take advantage of the fact that there was someone digging around it and work to bear fruit itself. So that's what we're going to be talking about, working for fruit for this last point. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, I'll start in verse 5. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. God has sent out people to do the work in his vineyard. We all know the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But we see here that Paul and Apollos took advantage of this Great Commission. They said voluntarily, I'm going to go, and I'm going to try to help people return to you. I'm going to try to help people by watering them, or by planting them first, but by watering your word in their hearts. These people were voluntarily doing that. Even the vineyard keeper here, in our text, he was ready and willing. He said, please, let me dig around it and put some fertilizer in it. I want to do this. Even though it wasn't his fig tree. It wasn't his fig tree that was weak and not bearing fruit. But it was the owner's. In the same way, those people out there in the world, they're not ours. They're God's. But we should have a longing to go out there and work. There's people that God has sent to work in his field, in his vineyard. Who will go? Over in James 1. James 1 and verse 19, beginning. James 1, 19. We'll be reading through 25. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So there's people sent out there, as we saw in the last point. But those people sent out there are out there for a reason. They're sending out the word. But this verse tells us that we need to be hearers of that word. We need to receive it into our hearts. In the same way as the keeper put fertilizer around the tree, the fertilizer is like the word of God that he was putting around people. And we need to take it in. We need to take in that nutrient, those nutrients. We need to take in everything that it has to offer. And be not only hearers of it, but doers of it. Or we're going to be like a man who looks in the mirror, but then turns away and forgot that he had that scar above his eyebrow, that he's forgot to shave, and he's got a crooked nose. He forgets all that because he doesn't put anything into practice. He may have the knowledge, but he forgets because he doesn't do it. And so in that doing, we see our next point in Mark 4. Mark 4. Mark 4, and we'll look at verse 20. This is Jesus explaining the parable of the sower and soils. And he's explaining this parable, and he talks about the soil, or the seed that fell on the good ground. And he says in verse 20, "And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold." When we do the word, we must bear fruit. It doesn't matter how great or how small. We got to do it. God will be just as pleased if you can only do the bare minimum, and then there's a 5-talent guy that can do 100-fold. He doesn't care, as long as you do to the best of your ability. I presented this lesson the first time at a Wednesday night invitation, and one of the main points that I tried to get across is that we not only need to be the tree, but we need to almost stop being the tree and become the keeper. We need to become the keeper and actually go out there and do stuff. I asked the question in the Wednesday night invitation, when was the last time you even invited someone to services? When was the last time I invited someone to services? When was the last time that we went out and did a Bible study with a non-believer? When was the last time we bore fruit for the Lord? When was the last time that we did anything for God? This parable isn't just for the people that haven't heard the word. This is for the people that have heard the word and have been in there for the last 30 years and have done nothing. This parable is about repentance, changing your ways, and bearing fruit toward God. That's what it's all about. Is God watching for fruit. God watching over us. And seeing if we've borne it. God is watching and looking for the fruit that we should be bearing. Will that fruit be there? God is waiting patiently for us to do His will. Have we abused the grace that He has so graciously given to us? God has sent out workers in His kingdom. Have we taken His word to heart and repented to be righteous and then to be workers? It's your last year. Are you ready to meet the owner? This is the only shot we get. Are you ready to meet the owner? Are you ready to meet the master? I'd like to tell you a story just real quickly. It was told to me by a friend of mine who actually knew the man. But there was this preacher of the gospel. And he wasn't feeling well, so he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You have terminal cancer. You have 6 months to live." It was too late by that time. By that time, he only had 6 more months to live. And there was nothing they could do. In that 6 months, he brought over 50 people to Christ. 6 months. He knew that these were his last days. And he brought over 50 people. My dad, he keeps a goal for himself. He wishes that he could try to convert at least 10 people to Christ each year. That's kind of his own personal goal. He wishes he could do more, but he's trying to keep it real. And this man converted over 50 people. If we go out there, fruit will be sown, or seed will be sown, and fruit will be born. There will be fruit in abundance, 100-fold, if we just decide to work. If we decide to turn our lives around, stop being a pitiful little fig tree that does nothing. Be the keeper. Put the fertilizer, dig the circle around. Let God be the increase. If there's anyone here who feels that they haven't been keeping this, if they haven't really understood how gracious God is to them, and that you feel that you need to change your life around and you need to be bearing fruit to God, I believe all of us here are Christians. If not, I apologize, but we need to do more, guys. I need to do more. We all need to do more. Let's go out there. Let's bear fruit. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, we ask you to come forward. Now is the time to change your life around. Whatever your need may be, we ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing. Let's sing.